Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 8 and reading through verse 10. Paul is writing, he says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Heavenly Father, once again we come to you asking your help. I definitely need your help to preach. I need your unction to preach. And we certainly need your Spirit to reach into the hearts and give understanding and perhaps convict of sin or encourage or whatever is needed in that heart. I'm asking that the Spirit of God would do his work in the hearts as only he can do. But Lord, we certainly crave it. In Jesus' name, amen. Last time, in our study of the tabernacle, we talked about the brazen altar. And I don't want to rehash that, but we talked about the man with sin in his life. If he was a sinner or if he just did something wrong and wanted to repent, he came to the temple. He came to the house of God. He appeared before God. And he brought a lamb or whatever sacrifice and he killed it. And he trusted that the blood of that lamb counted for him. And we understand that in the Old Testament, the blood of bulls and goats were a down payment, but they foreshadowed and prophesied of when Jesus Christ gave his life and shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. And as John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." There's a cardinal doctrine. It's justification by faith. For by grace you were saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. The natural mind thinks that, well, I have to get God's attention. I have to do so. I know I'm doing wrong. I need to do something right. Or maybe big or something. Maybe give a lot in the offering or something. And maybe God will be pleased. But Paul said if you could gain God's favor or get his attention or make God pleased by doing things, then that would be something that you could boast of. But salvation is a free gift. Isaiah chapter 55, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not." He says, "Come to me, drink of me, come receive of me." It's a free gift, but it cost the life of God's Son. He said, I am the door. You can enter in by me and be saved, but if you climb up any other way, you're a thief and a robber. And I've touched on that. I've taught on that. One way to be saved, and if you could make it on your own, by your goodness or your good deeds or your work or your deceit, then you could have something to boast about. But it's impossible to pay the sin debt on your own. We must trust in Jesus Christ. But salvation is by grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor. That's what we understand the Word of God to say and how it's defined. Grace is God's unmerited favor. Not to pick on anyone, but the Catholics have a different definition of grace. And they say and believe and are taught that it has to do with works. That you can earn God's favor. Can't happen. Won't work that way. But that's what they believe. That's their definition. And it just won't work. Now, once a person gets saved, often there's the idea that they can somehow measure up. Now, I know they went to Calvary. I understand that they trust in Jesus for their pardon. But they sit in church, and I've been in churches like that, that there's an idea that the pastor isn't pleased, or the deacon isn't pleased, or the people that's been sitting in the pew for 20, 30 years aren't pleased. And there's a feeling of that you just can't measure up. Nothing you do is right. And you feel like the rat in the little cage spinning his little wheel and he running and can't get nowhere. I've been in those kinds of churches. And not to speak ill of anyone, but it just wasn't taught that, hey, you know, stop trying to, well, fine, you didn't work for your salvation. You accepted by faith, but quit trying to measure up as a Christian, because you can't measure up still. It's a trap, and I've been in one or two churches like that, that you felt you were under a dark cloud and you still couldn't measure up. And you sang in the choir, and you prayed, and you gave in the offering and whatever, but it just wasn't enough. Again, I'm not trying to knock anyone. I was in one or two of those churches that you had a cloud over you, and you just felt like God was displeased. Well, again, you can't please God and somehow con him into saving you by your works. And as you've received Christ, Paul said, so also walk ye in him. You get saved by trusting in what Jesus did on the cross. Then walk out your Christian salvation by trusting in what Jesus did on the cross. You can't earn it to begin with, and you can't keep it by your merits. Again, grace, God's unmerited favor. Again, justification by faith is a cardinal doctrine. That's what the Reformation was all about. He said, Martin, God said to Martin Luther, when he was kneeling on that church, probably doing penance or something, I don't know, trying to do what I said, trying to earn God's favor. God spoke and said, Martin, the just shall live by his faith. And I don't know if I don't know what he was doing up there, but he got up off his knees and climbed down a ladder and said, let me think about that a while. Wait, God accepts me? By believing, not by doing. And that word from heaven, again, he's quoting the Bible. God didn't come up with anything new to give Martin Luther. Just reminding him of what was already written, Martin, the just shall live by his faith. But let's take a look at this. In verse 1 through 3, it says, again in chapter 2 of Ephesians, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. You may think, as I once did when I was at the Van Halen concert in Baton Rouge in 1981, that fall, that, hey man, this is great, this is the life. But I was dead, didn't know it. There was no life. Other things that I did or tried or engaged in, they didn't satisfy. Smoking dope didn't do it. Getting drunk didn't do it. Other things I did, it didn't satisfy what was the emptiness that was in me. It just didn't satisfy. But one day when Jesus Christ came into my heart and life, I knew right then and there I had no reason to further chase drugs or alcohol or women or anything like that. I knew that I was satisfied, that the Spirit of God that came to dwell in my heart was enough. Like the woman at the well, she received water from Jesus Christ, and it satisfied her soul. The passage I quoted in Isaiah chapter 55, perhaps the part in John, on that great day of the feast, he lifted up his voice, Jesus did, and said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." As the scripture has said, talking about himself, "Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." If you have a thirst in your soul, come to Jesus Christ. There's a river flowing out of him, and he comes to dwell in you, and that river can satisfy you. And as you go on with God, it'll begin to flow out of you, and you can help others to find what you have found. He is the answer. Let me say it, he is the answer. Whatever trouble you've got, whatever trouble your nephew's got, or whatever trouble, Jesus is the answer. I know people on drugs. You sitting in the pew, you knew people on drugs or smoking till ended up with cancer or drinking or whatever. You know, just as I know. But the answer for all of those people is what I've been preaching here at this church for 2.5 years. That Jesus Christ is the answer, and he will satisfy. But he said you were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. In other words, that's Satan, that now worketh in the children of disobedience. In other words, you live for the devil while you're serving him, and he works through you. You don't think all that carrying on in the bars or in the crack den is what you really want to do, or what God wants you to do, or what Mama wants you to do. You're doing what Satan wants you to do. And Paul says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Then in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Remember John 3:16, most famous verse in the Bible. You may think he's an idiot, but at every football game there's somebody with a sign just standing there holding a big old poster board, says John 3:16. Don't say nothing else but the verse reference. And they always, maybe little after halftime or whatever, they'll zero in and show him, looks like an idiot, I guess, on TV holding that sign. But let me tell you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Think of that. It's wonderful that God sacrificed his Son. And you think you want to work for salvation? Look what God did. Look at his work. He surrendered his own Son for you, who was out in the bars doing things you shouldn't have done. And it talks about the riches, the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ in verse 7. Again, it's the gift of God, but it's not of works, lest any man should boast. But look at verse 10. This is a little confusing. Not of works, lest any man should boast, but then, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Works don't save, but then it says that he made us, created us unto good works. He created us to do good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Works don't save, but then you get saved and God says, okay, go do some works. God's plan, go do some works. Before the world was even created, he said, I'm going to have you do good works. But good works don't save. But it says that we walked in times past in the lust and whatever. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, talking about sinners, and he lists a bunch of things that are wrong, and he says, and such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified. Sanctified means to be set apart unto God and for his use. That you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. That's that word justified. We're justified by faith. To be justified means to be declared holy and righteous. To be declared holy and righteous. You do something wrong and maybe a parent or teacher would say, can you justify your actions? And, you know, maybe you can, maybe you can't, but when we're standing before God, you can't justify your actions. Again, you can't earn salvation. Can't deserve it, but God gives it to you. He justifies. He declares you holy and righteous. He declares you worthy. And I know all those bars I went up into around LSU, I know I wasn't worthy. Justification by faith. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I've testified a bunch of times of how God changed me, delivered me from drugs. Didn't have a drinking problem per se, but somebody pulled out that tray. I had to have it. Had to have it. Couldn't get away. It had a hold on me, but he set me free. I was a new creature when I said yes to Jesus. In 5 minutes, I knew I was free. Not, I need to go find a meeting somewhere. Again, I understand that's an alcohol thing. Got to go to some meeting, but in 5 minutes, I knew I was free. Didn't need it no more. Didn't need the bars no more. I knew I was free. That's a miracle. I'm testifying right now to a miracle that happened in our lifetime. And I know a number of people listening or not listening or whatever, I know a number of people that can testify that they had a miracle in their heart and life. So grateful for it. So grateful for it. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Behold means, hey, look at that. Listen up. Behold. Look, y'all. What have you? All things have become new. It happened to me. It can happen to you. And it can happen to others when we tell others about him. So works don't save, but then go do works. Let's turn to James. James chapter 2. There is a manufactured controversy between Paul and James. Maybe it's because certain preachers don't understand it. Maybe certain preachers like controversy. Maybe, I don't know. But there's a manufactured controversy between Paul, who preached justification by faith, and James, who taught something else. James chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. What doth it profit, or what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him? And we just said that Paul said, for by grace you were saved through faith. But James says, what does it profit though a man says he has faith and doesn't have works? Can faith save him? Okay, he makes a statement, asks a question, then he gives examples. If a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give him not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? See somebody, a bum or whatever, or almost a bum, maybe a week or two from being a bum, you ain't got no money, about to get thrown out, and you say, oh, God bless you, oh, I pray everything's going to be okay for you, and, you know, I hope you make it, but you don't help him out. Now, don't misunderstand, somebody by the side of the road, maybe at the exit on the interstate, got a piece of cardboard in his hand, looks like he hadn't had a bath in 3 weeks, says, we'll work for food. He won't. He wants money for drugs or alcohol. Let's just be realistic. But, you know, I used to work, I guess I did a little bit of it in New Orleans, for about a year and a half, every Friday night, when I was in Atlanta, we went down to the corner of Spring and Lucky, which, if you remember, when the Olympics were there, they knocked some of that stuff down right up in there to put the Olympics. Techwood is the projects there. We were near that. We sent out teams from the parking lot where we set up and had a service. We handed out hot dogs and Bibles and tennis shoes and whatever, but we sent out teams from that. Witnessing, walking up and down the streets, heading toward, I think there was a rescue mission there, and then a little bit further there was Techwood. And it took us a while to get to Techwood, and we were, you know, afraid. We were not in the right place, and cops were telling us, look, you know, y'all need to get back over there. And we were afraid and got a little less afraid. And then finally, we went ahead one Friday night, says, let's go on into the projects. We didn't have any reason to be there, trust me. But then we realized that God had prepared our way for us, and we felt perfectly at ease. And people walking, you know, back and forth from the laundromat to their homes or whatever, they were more than happy to talk to us and were glad we were there, and we didn't know what we were afraid about. But I can tell you, I've told you the story before of Hack, the bum, who over a period of 4 or 5 months God delivered from being a bum, delivered from that kind of poverty. God touched his heart and he said, man, I need a job. And we prayed. And I saw him a month later or whatever. He says, man, I got a job. I'm pushing a broom at the Omni. Praise God, pushing a broom at the Omni. You got a job. He says, yeah, but I need a place to flop, man. I need an apartment. And so we prayed, you know, and I saw maybe a month and a half, 2 months later, and he said, you know what? I got a little house, man, not a little apartment, a little hole in the wall. I ain't nothing, you know, I'm ashamed to take you there, but I got a place to live. And God delivered him from being a bum. I could tell other stories of other people. I mean, we were pastors to those guys. Be ye warmed and filled. Well, we did a little bit more than that. But he says, if you have faith and you have all these good intentions and all the God bless yous and all that stuff, and we'll pray you and all that stuff, but you don't actually help, what good are your kind words? Not doing a thing. Verse 17, and again, James chapter 2, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead. being alone. You're justified by faith, but faith, if it doesn't have works with it, is dead. Now, I'm alive in Christ. I'm dead in Christ because I have no works. Faith by itself alone is dead. Verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. Justified by faith? Fantastic. Great. But he says, I will show thee my faith by my works. James was justified by faith, no question of that, but he could show his faith. He could demonstrate his faith by the good works he did. Again, works don't save, but if you get saved, God expects you to do works. They don't save. They don't get his adulation. You can't earn his favor. You can't get on his good side by doing good works. It doesn't work that way. But if you were a Christian, you should be involved in some sort of good works. And, you know, the first good work you ought to do is stop going to that bar like I did. Hallelujah. And instead, I started going to church. That's a good work in and of itself. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.